announcements this morning. I know that this afternoon is, and Brother Larry can, isn't today the day that the elders, y'all have your supper meeting and your first meeting of the new elders? Is that correct, sir?
Right. Meet here at 4 o'clock.
Meet here at 4 o'clock. And y'all, then we'll go to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think, where are we going, Steve?
Surprise.
Good, okay. We trust him.
Okay. Oh, is that your house, Melanie? You forgot to cook, didn't you? Either way. Be sure and register your attendance. Have the registration. Joyce is doing that as we speak. So please be sure and register your attendance. The only other announcement is I know there is no youth meeting today here. Since the kids are out of school tomorrow, there is no youth meeting today. Also, the other thing is, if you're planning on coming to eat Wednesday night, please be sure and fill out the RSVP. That allows Tommy to know how much food to cook. So be sure and fill out your RSVP and put it in the collection plate or leave it in the Joyce's office. This coming tomorrow? Okay. Bible study with Gloria Job, 10 o'clock tomorrow. Are there any other announcements? Everybody announced out today? We'll also add them to, I think they already are on the prayer list, but any other announcements?
13 of us all together.
13 of you going.
We might need your blood drive.
Yes, everybody, go ahead.
This morning they were saying.
Well, there's a shortage, especially O blood, because I think they can give O blood. It's transferable to a lot of people that have different types. So they were asking for O blood, and they were going to be open extra hours. So if you can donate blood, please do so, because they are in a critical shortage. Yeah. You have your flyer in your bulletin. Anything else? Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Melanie? Ellen Wapner, right? Okay. Well, we just said that the reason why was she was not feeling well. Did you work her too hard, Kirk? You did. Well, it'd been so warm, but anyway, so we'll leave Peggy. We'll put Peggy on the prayer list. Kim?
Surgery this week for thyroid cancer, and they had to take out a lot of lymph nodes. So keep her in your prayers, but I just want to mention that I was washing out paintbrushes last night and I had a prayer meeting. And I don't know how many of you remember James Joplin. And oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Well, a lot of times we don't ask right. So me and the Lord, we had this little talk last night, and I started out saying, Lord, I want you to heal Dandy Cobb. Well, that was the wrong way to ask. So I wound up praying like this: Lord, I know that you can heal Mandy Cox. Will you please? So sometimes we just need to ask. My children, I used to ask them, would you take out the garbage? Well, I don't want to. I didn't ask if you wanted to. So sometimes we just don't ask right. And that's what the Bible says. Ask, and you shall receive. So we just got to ask right.
And just remember, it's in God's time and not our time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other prayer requests? If not, let's bow our heads in silence and prepare our hearts for worship. O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in this hour. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive, if you will turn in your bulletins. It comes from Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
Hymn 97, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. One, two, and four.
As we pray, Lord God, we come to praise you and to express how much we do adore you and express our thanks to you for your so many blessings to us. Lord, we acknowledge who you are, your power, your greatness. And Lord, we thank you that you come to dwell with us and that you come to meet with your people when they meet in your name, to let your presence be known, to let us have a touch of glory. But Lord, we come also with many needs and many concerns, many hurts and pains and much sickness. And we bring these, Lord, at this time to present to you, thanking you for just caring for us and thanking you that you have invited us to bring our difficulties to you. And Lord, we know that you are able to do that which is good and right and best. And we trust life to you, and we trust sickness to you. But we ask, Lord, our desire for wellness in every person. Lord, not only for those mentioned this morning, but for those around the world. Thank you, Lord, for those who do dedicate themselves to the care and the well-being of those who are sick. Lord, as we have come, we pray that you would bless every song, every word. Especially, we pray for the proclamation of your word, in order that it might be good and meaningful and helpful and encouraging and convicting. And Lord, lead people either to commit themselves to you if they have committed to a deeper commitment in greater service. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join in expressing our faith through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We come to the time in our service where we confess our sin. Our call to confession today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 13. Jesus said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." If you will follow in unison the prayer of confession in your bulletin. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride hide the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore cries for justice. We do not strive for peace. In your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may show forth your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. God gives us assurance of forgiveness from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus said, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 394. My life, Lord, be glorified. Let us worship through this song.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my song, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today.
Turn now again, if you will, please, to hymn 552. This is a learning song. I think it may be familiar to some of us. We'll sing the first verse only. It's a good old foot stomping revival meeting, tent meeting song.
Southern country people
would
know this.
That's right. That's what we are. Just ask all those people that watch Hee Haw. They think everybody in Nashville is barefooted with overalls on.
No electricity.
No electricity.
Nah, I think we are.
First verse only.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast the wistful eye to Canaan's barren, happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, Reuben, come and go with me. I am bound for the promised land.
As most of you know, Nancy and I are building a house. So all our worldly possessions are in boxes, mostly underneath the drywall desk right now. So I've been kind of limited to what I could sing, but this is a song about prayer. Nancy and I hope everybody else believes in the power of prayer.
Into this world
love to share. And he went to Calvary. Just to prove he cares, he is always there. Troubled, and you don't know what to do. Remember, in the garden, He felt the same way too. That cross was oh so heavy. He carried it willingly, so we could meet him there. He is always there.
Sam. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Would our ushers come forward at this time? Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Let's all again turn in our hymnals to hymn 280. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
I love thy kingdom, Lord. The house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love my church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her gifts of love and praise.
A song about the church. And that's what I want us to think about and hope we will think about this morning. The church. The church that Jesus desires, or the church that Jesus is looking for. The church that Jesus would be pleased with. The church that would, or that does, honor Jesus and bring glory to Him. You heard the scripture lesson, you could have followed along, and you may want to follow in your Bible, because as you notice, we have listed numerous scripture passages almost from the front to the back, from the sixth book to the last book, out of, 66 books. Think about the scripture background, if you will. The people of Israel have returned to Jerusalem. They had spent 70 years as slaves in Babylon. Now, while they got there, Jeremiah tells us that they sinned. They ignored the Sabbath year. And that was every 7 years they were supposed to basically take a vacation. That the land lay fallow or unproductive. That it replenish itself. And in the preceding year they were supposed to gather enough produce in that they would have enough to last through that year. They refused to do this. They ignored the celebration of the observance of the Sabbath year, and God was not pleased with them, and they did it for 490 years or give or take, and God sent the Babylonians to overthrow them and take them off to captivity, where they had to spend 70 years, and if you divide 70 into 490, you will come up with 7. Is that right? So, though they refused to give God what belonged to Him, for a while, He got it anyway. Think about that. They didn't tithe of their time and their land, the use of the land, and He got it. After 70 years in captivity, God saw that, knew that they had served their time, they had paid Him back what was due Him, and He sent the Persians under the leadership of Cyrus and then Darius, and they came and overthrew the Babylonians and allowed the Israelites to come back to Jerusalem. So having been gone 70 years, the land of Jerusalem and the surrounding country of Israel had been plowed. It had become a desolation. It had been abandoned. It had been deserted. And it had been plowed. They came back to rebuild. And they're going to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple that King Solomon had built. And Isaiah is the prophet speaking, and chapter 62, or it's attributed to him, and he is telling this people who have come home to be God's people again in the land that he gave them to Abraham, when he gave it to Abraham. He's going to tell them, Isaiah is telling them what God is going to do for them, what God wants them to be, and what He wants to make out of them, what they are to become. God's plan for His people, God's plan for His church. If you will look in at your scripture verse 1, for Zion's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, or for the sake of the rebuilding of the city of David, but the city of God, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet until her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. So what does God expect of His people in verse 1? A righteous people. A people who are living right. Living lives that glorify God. Living lives that help one another and encourage one another and bless one another, but that glorify God. A people who have been saved. And they will know that they have been saved. Their salvation. Their salvation from captivity would shine forth. They had been gone 70 years. Think of what will happen to a piece of land that has been abandoned for 70 years. House falls in, even the better houses. And occasionally someone will come in and restore. Well, the Millers, it wasn't abandoned, but almost, was it not? Good example. Oh my goodness. I think of a house in East Nashville that I used to drive by, and I said, why do they let it fall down like that? One of those mansions. Now it's a It's a great house that they have restored and used for weddings. And there are those houses all around, but they were only abandoned for a few years. Abandoned for 70 years. Destroyed. Not a stone upon a stone. They were wiped out. And they come back and they've been desolate. But now they're going to the countryside. The neighbors can see those non-Hebrew people. Those who were not descendants of Abraham. Those that Abraham's descendants were supposed to go and lead to God. Never got around to it. Or very often they followed them instead of lead them to God. They could look and see that God had saved His people. He had brought His people home. They had experienced the salvation of God. Righteousness. Salvation. And then in verse 3, you will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand. Now, you might notice that it wasn't going to be a crown on the Lord's head, but a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand. Not quite a crown for His head, but to hold in His hand. And a royal diadem in the hand of your God. They'll be a royal people. They're God's people. And later, New Testament, the Apostle Peter called the New Testament church a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a royal people. God's own people. Well, these people, generations before this, God was going to restore them to this glory and something that He would be proud to show. God would be proud to not only to show but to experience Himself. A people who were a delight to Him. No longer will they call you deserted or your name or name your land desolate, but you will call Hephzibah. Hephzibah. And your land, Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. And I learned that Hephzibah means delightful, or will take delight in you. Most any Bible with any kind of references will put you a little footnote somewhere that says Hephzibah is you will be something that the Lord will be delighted in. He will smile about. Like we smile when our children do something great. God's children will come back and they'll be doing so good. They'll be such a great righteous people. They will be having been saved. They'll be living righteous lives. And He will be delighted in them. Or that was what Isaiah was saying to them. The Lord's going to take delight in you. And then Beulah means married or married to. See, the second part of verse 4 kind of explains the first part. And then in verse 5, as a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Fellas, you remember when you married that girl? And girls, do you remember when you married that fella? Oh, you were so delighted. Still are, aren't you? Had a 70-year-old friend up in Goodlettsville, Joe Vickers. Joe Vickers came and did a workshop for Sunday school some time ago for us. Joe's a big old 70-plus-year-old former football player, bar bouncer, who the Lord touched through his wife, and he became a preacher and had a successful ministry, 35 years at the Goodlettsville Church. But Joe is kind of overweight, always was in the last 30 years that I've known him, but he has a beautiful wife. And I say all that to say that I called him. He called me, and I called him back this week. We're going on a little journey this ministers' conference tomorrow. And I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm sitting here watching football with my beautiful wife. She's sitting right across from me. And that's what he says all the time, every time you talk to him. And I spent the week with him last year in Birmingham, and we shared a room, and every time he'd call her, he'd say, how's Miss America doing? And they've been married, what, 50 years, I guess, 40-something, and she is still a delight. Now, I'm not sure what he is in her eyes. No, she just smiles and loves him a lot, too. And I think, you know, 50 years, and they express it openly. Now, in our house, we're a little more quiet about it. A little more quiet about it. We don't broadcast our care. But I really still am. Don't tell her I said this. But I am delighted that this girl found me, that I married, or that married me. So, and that's what the Lord wants to look on His church. Look on His church. Us. And be delighted in us. And be proud of us. Not, why did I ever get mixed up with this? I hope none of you are in that kind of relationship or situation. And God speaks through the prophet in our lesson. God speaks through the prophet to call these people to be that which God wants them to be, desires that they be. He speaks through the prophet so that it might be so. And the prophet says, I will not stop preaching. I will not stop praying. I'm going to preach to the people so they can become this, but I'm going to pray to God that He will help them become this. I'm going to keep hammering at God's door that He won't forget His people. He didn't have to worry about that, did he? God was more concerned that they be delightful to Him or be a delight to Him than He was concerned for them. Where did He get His idea? Where did He get His message? Where did He get His passion for praying for them? God gave it to them. The prophet was passionate, though, about this happening. He was going to keep on preaching. He was going to keep on praying to these people that they might become the true people of God, glorifying Him. He was devoted, but God was more so devoted. God wanted it more than He did. He wanted His people. God wanted this people of His to be the greatest. Like Jackie Gleason used to say about, what was his partner on the Honeymooners? Alice. Is that right? The greatest. You're the greatest. God wants to say of us, you're the greatest. You're the greatest. Now this was a message to the people of Israel who had returned to Babylon. But this is a message to Jenkins Church today, to all the church in the world today, but especially to Jenkins Church, because this is the only one that we really have any control over. Oh, God has control, but we can do what He wants us to do. It's really, though, a message to individual people. It's a message to you. It's a message to those teenagers back there. It's a message to, we have a first-time visitor this morning. Welcome. Didn't even get his name, but we welcome you. We'll get it later. It's a message to him. Message to you in this section, too. Israel was made up of individual people. And if the individual people did not become what he wanted, God wanted them to become, the country wouldn't be. And if the individual people today, if we don't become what God wants us to be, the church will not be. Because the church is made up of individual people. And all that the church is called to be or should be, the individual Christian is called to be. So it's not them that ought to do this. It's not them that ought to get their act together. It's not them that God wants to see changes in. It's us. Not the church ought to be, but it's that we must be. We must be. Emphasis on the we. God wants His church to be what? Or what is it that God wants His church to be? You can go back to number one above. Righteous. He wants His church to be full of righteous people. We often escape that or try to escape it. It says Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And that's right. But He wants us to live like forgiven people. He wants us to live righteous lives. And then 4E. And it may be, I guess, E and D. E and F. He wants to take delight in us. And we dwelt on that a bit. And He wants to be married to us. I call your attention to what John the Baptist told those who came to him to be baptized by John the Baptist. It's Matthew chapter 3 and it's verse 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. What does he say? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Or live lives that show that you have repented of your sin. In keeping with repentance. And then in Luke chapter 3, 8, same experience recorded by a different person, recorded by Luke. First one was recorded by Matthew. Luke 3 and 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. If you're following in this Bible, it's 7:26. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of those stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. People said, well, we're Abraham's descendants. Produce the fruit. And then verse 11 through 14. John, somebody said, what then? What should we do then? The crowd asked. And he gives some details. The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, what should we do to show that we are dedicated to doing what God wants us to do? That's what should we do? Don't collect any more than you require. Gotta pay, gotta have taxes to run to keep up the roads, build schools. But don't take any more than is required. Some of the soldiers came to say, and what should we do? He says, Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks at length about how Christians ought to live righteous lives. And turn to Luke chapter 6, 9, and then 11 through 17. One of my friends came this week in his Sunday school class last Sunday, they talked about turning the other cheek and all those things. That passage grabbed him. And he's had to live with it all week. And two mornings, we have just stuck. How can you do this? How can you turn the other cheek? How can you give to the one who demands your coat? Give him your cloak also. Or did I get it backwards? Cloak or coat. Your top garment, give him your second garment also. Now, I listed some verses, but there's many more. I didn't want anybody to think that this was an all-inclusive list. I ask you now to note what the Apostle Paul instructed the Philippians to do. He says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's how you act, how you conduct yourselves. Let your conduct, teenagers, this is a tough one for you, I know. Act like a child of God. Act like you've been saved. Let your conduct, your action. This was basically the message that Joshua gave the Israelites when they entered the land of Canaan some 400 years earlier than the return in our lesson. 400, almost 500 maybe. Joshua in chapter 24, verse 21 and following is a call to honor and to glorify God with their lives. Honor and glorify God with their lives. And that's what we're called to do. But it was back there with Joshua, 400 years plus before Isaiah. Revelation. See, I've covered the whole book, haven't I? The whole Bible, almost. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 contains seven letters from Jesus, one to each of the seven churches in Asia. In five of the letters, there are things that Jesus is not pleased with. In five of the letters, there are things that Jesus says He is not pleased with. What do you think about us and Jesus? What about us? What would He say about us if He wrote us a letter? In one of the letters, there is nothing mentioned that He is not pleased with. That's Philadelphia. In the church at Smyrna, He doesn't say He's displeased with them, but He's concerned. They're fearful. They're fearful. And He tells them to remain faithful. Remain faithful. And then He promises them a crown. But they had forsaken their first love, the first letter. They had been tolerating wrong teachings. So somebody comes in and starts teaching false teachings, we need to out of here. This just happened in a foreign country church, Sudanese church. A woman came in and started teaching a witchcraft or something like that. It destroyed the church somewhere in Nebraska. She came to Gallatin and got in that church. And one of the preachers kind of tripped out on it. They had two preachers. One of them was working in the Nebraska church. And that was in the Cumberland Presbyterian denomination. She came in and started teaching witchcraft. Another church was tolerating a woman who was misleading people. Another church was dead. Said, you once were alive, but now you're dead. And then the Laodicean church that we've all heard about, I guess, they were lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'd rather you be either hot or cold, one or the other, but you're lukewarm and you make me sick to my stomach. I want to spit you out or make me want to vomit. That may be too much of a paraphrase there. And then it was Smyrna. There was fear in the church. And He says, be faithful, and we promise you a crown. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25b and then 27 through 27 and then 29. Paul says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it unto Himself, a glorious church without spot or blemish. Wow, a glorious church without spot or blemish. And Christ died for us to save us from all the sin that spots our lives. That might be so. Revelations 21, the church is seen as a bride in John's vision coming to meet her husband, Jesus. Beulah, Mary. Friends, it's God who will make us what He wants us to be. He sent Jesus to provide our salvation. Genesis 1 says, Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. And our Bible tells us if we believe in Jesus, we are made righteous. If we trust Him as our Savior or believe in Him to have died for our sin and give those sin to Him, forsake them, then He sent His Holy Spirit to help us to live righteous lives. I extend an invitation for you to claim the salvation of God this morning if you have not claimed it. If you're saved and are not living a righteous life, I challenge you and invite you to make a commitment to God the Father, God the Son, that you're going to seek His help in leading a righteous life. And then we can be valid witnesses to the world around us when they see us living as God's people. 293, it's Rise Up, O Church of God. The song used to say, Rise Up, O Men of God, and somebody wanted to get all inclusive or inclusive language and left out the men. But both of them, the church, but the church is made up of individuals. Rise up, O people of God, individual people of God. But we all work together to make up the church. Rise up, O people. Rise up and make her great. Two 93.
Life that would be the life in Jesus' name.